This is going to be terrible if I don't know who it is.
You'll know. Tweets on podcasts and geography. Do you know
it? It sounds like Ariel.
Yeah!
Yeah, so I will finish the introduction. Be On Deck alum, community at Squadcast FM.
Be On Deck alum, I know for sure that's in her bio, so that would have locked in.
Yep, community at Squadcast FM, Salt Institute alum, founder of Earbuds Collective, and at Sounds Prof News, pin drop at NYC. Welcome, Ariel Nissen-Blatt.
I used to have NYC-ish, but then I was like, you know what? I don't have enough space in my bio for this, like, this attitude.
That's what, like, people in New Jersey say.
What I mean by it is, I travel a lot, you know? Like, I'm kind of cool. I'm not always in NYC.
But that's what somebody from New Jersey would say, because they'd be like, yeah, I live pretty close to the city. People are like, pretty close? So, like, Brooklyn? No, just a little further. And you're like, what? Oh, New Jersey. Oh, yeah, I don't really say New Jersey, though.
Yeah, like New York adjacent.
Well, welcome to the pod.
Very excited to be here. I'm using my MV7. I love it. Do you hear me well?
Yeah, you sound great.
You just emailed and said you had lawnmowers outside. Are they still running outside?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay. I was going to be super impressed.
All right, so last week we talked about this Spotify discovery feature thing that they're going to launch. Somebody on Twitter had shared it, and basically it's like this TikTok-style feed. Well, you can actually get it right now.
Right. And this is old news if anybody follows us on TikTok.
So for like 300 of you, this is old news.
Right.
You're my favorite follow right now.
We're your favorite TikTok account?
That's not real.
In the podcast space, yes.
In the podcast space.
Right. I think that my favorite TikToks are like, they just find the most wild things for you to be into. It's like, do you want to see someone make delicious fried chicken? I'm like, yes, like 12 times in a row.
Have you ever seen a horse get the chiropractic treatment? Because I have. A horse get cracked? Yep.
Well, if this is the kind of content that you want, Spotify is about to launch it for you with this new TikTok discovery thing. And you can actually test it out right now. So if you're on iOS or iPad, you can go. It's not like a legit out there feature. It's kind of like a little bit of a hack. Go into Safari and type in Spotify :internal:podcast clips.
No spaces between those.
No spaces. And it's just like you put that in as a URL. You click go and it will open a Spotify link that will take you to this UI. And I played around with it for a little bit, and I had a ton of fun. Like, I was hearing lots of cool clips, very different from what you'd experience with normal podcast discovery, but fun to play with, so go ahead and check it out.
Normal podcast discovery. What do you mean? Very different than normal podcast discovery.
My experience is podcasting discovery is like you find out about a podcast because somebody's telling you it's really good, or you hear somebody drops an episode into the feed, or you hear a promo swap or something. And then I commit to like 2 hours of trying the episode out.
Yeah.
And this is, hey, can I grab your attention with like an 8-second clip before you swipe away? It's just a very different experience.
Here's the question though. What are you looking at when you're listening to that clip? Is there an audiogram, or is there a video alongside it? What does it look like?
So this is part of the Spotify Pods acquisition. So did you ever play with Pods?
P-O-D-Z.
Yeah, P-O-D-Z. It's pretty similar to that UI. You've got the artwork. You've got the transcribed audio that was pretty good, though not 100% accurate.
Yeah.
It's definitely not waveform.
Yeah. It's not like proofread. Got a few words wrong in the ones I looked up.
Yeah.
But it was fun and I liked it. And we talked about it last week. So if you want to check it out, go to Safari and then put in Spotify :internal:podcast clips. And we'll leave a link to the TikTok video I made. And if you like that TikTok, give it a heart and a thumbs up.
Double tap.
I don't know if that's a thing in TikTok.
So I want to talk about Apple Podcasts' big announcement this week that Apple Podcasts has released follower numbers. So you can go into your dashboard on Podcasters Connect and you can see a lot more data than you had access to before. So Albin, what can we see now? And have you checked it out yet?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week and it finally dropped like, I don't know, 2 days ago. We sound like such podcast nerds. It finally dropped the new stats. I just like hurt myself, like a 17-year-old version of myself was like listening on this moment and was like, what a loser. Oh, man. New stats dropped. All right. So there's three stats in Apple Podcasts. And don't look at the show notes, Kevin, because I'm going to ask you some of these numbers.
I got it.
All right. So there's three stats. One is called followers. And that's those people that clicked the plus button, the circle plus, you know, they actually decided to follow the podcast.
On the top right.
Yeah. And pretty, those end up being pretty similar to the download numbers when I compare it to our Buzzsprout dashboard.
Now, wait. Let me interject right here. Do you all agree with me that it is ridiculously hard to follow a podcast in Apple Podcasts now?
I was just going to bring that up. Yes, I barely use Apple Podcasts, but I do if I'm going to go leave a rating and review for somebody. I'll pull it up on my phone and I'll subscribe. I mean, I will follow.
Follow, yeah.
When I do that. But when I went to do it, I want to say like 2 weeks ago, I hadn't been on for a really long time. I had a very hard time finding how to follow that podcast.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't understand the decision there. Yeah, why not just write follow and put a button thing around it?
Or make it the dark purple rather than, I think it's in light mode right now and it's very hard to, it doesn't direct you to it. It almost seems like they don't want you to follow podcasts.
That's what I'm thinking.
This was the big complaint that James Cridlin talked about at Podcast Movement, right? At Evolutions, he's on stage, he's talking about all the different apps and he goes, and Apple Podcasts did this follow to plus button, and somebody who knows things was next to me and said, we actually know it's the exact same number. The same amount of people that click the plus button were clicking the follow button. The buttons are fine.
Mm.
So
they're going to actually try to use hard data to argue my point, my subjective viewpoint.
Well,
I hate it when people
I don't know. Yeah. So that was what I heard. And based on who it was, I trust it that that's a legitimate thing. All right. So followers, click that plus button. Listeners, those are people who listen to exactly 1 second or more. Exactly 1 second or more. At least a second.
Right.
An engaged listener is really, I think, that is the number that matters. That's somebody who listened to 20 minutes or at least 40% of the episode.
That's a big jump.
20 minutes is a lot.
Yeah.
From 1 second to 20 minutes. Yeah.
So somebody whose phone is set to auto-download your podcast, listening to 1 second or actually listening to the episode. Those are like the three things.
Does it have to do with, I don't know if you know this, but like how far you get into the episode? Like if I skip the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, it says 40% of the episode.
Right. But if I skip ahead, is it smart enough to know I'm skipping or does it think I listened?
I think that it knows that you're not listening when you're skipping.
Juleka from LWC Studios talks a lot about listen through rates. And now on Apple Podcasts, this new dashboard, you can see what percentage of the episode your followers are listening to, which is exciting, but I still don't know the answer to your question, Kevin, just now about how could it know if you're skipping through?
Right. Because I jump around a ton. I skip a bunch of stuff. If they have chapters, I love it because I'll jump around, I'll listen to the end, then I'll come back and listen to the beginning and all this stuff. I don't know how anybody could track all that stuff.
I do think listen through rate is important. We could bring it back to that. I think if you're, you know, especially if you have advertisers and you want to prove to your advertisers why it's worth spending money with you, it's not so important that you have 10,000 listeners if those listeners are only listening to 10% of your episode. They only want to tune in for this one segment where you have a celebrity guest or where you're really pumped up about whatever's going on in motocross sports. I don't know what comes to my mind when I'm giving examples. I don't understand what just happened. But if you have...
You're looking at Kevin and I, and you're like, those look like guys who are into motocross.
Don't ask me.
But if you have a podcast and you have 500 listeners who are listening to 80%, that's awesome. That's much better for a dirt bike company who might want to advertise with you. So I don't know about you. I almost never ever go into my Apple Podcast dashboard. I only spend time on my Buzzsprout dashboard for Squadcast Podcast Between Two Mics and Counter Programming with Shira and Ariel. But now I might spend a little bit more time, you know, hanging out, analyzing some of those statistics.
Perfect. Yeah, I feel like it's something that you glance at once every couple months, right? Like if you're a podcaster, you're probably looking at the stats that your host provides on a pretty regular basis. At least every time you upload a new episode, you're checking out how the last episode did. But how often are we going to jump into Apple's stats or Spotify stats? Hey, keep an eye on them once every couple months. But this is not a place where I think that we're going to do you know, like weekly checks or whatever.
Unless it's fun for you, unless you like to crunch numbers and see, you know, maybe you tried a new call to action. And maybe you called people, maybe you asked folks to listen on Apple Podcasts and asked them to leave a rating and review specifically on Apple Podcasts because of these new value metrics. Maybe that's a reason for you to check in. But other than that.
All right. So I did crunch some numbers.
Oh. Hey,
so
great.
Here's what I wanted to know. From that follower number to the actual engaged listener who may be skipping ahead 40 minutes into the episode like Kevin or is listening to actually 20 minutes or 40% of the episode, what percentage of people who follow your show actually listen to a second? So we're just going to listeners. What percent? I looked at all three of our shows and now Kevin is looking at the outline or the answers right
now. I'm not. I'm not looking at the outline.
What percent would you say? They're actually listening to a second.
Of all the people who follow,
mm-hmm.
and I'm assuming a good chunk of them have auto downloads turned on.
Right.
And then how many actually end up listening to a second? I'm going to say half of them.
I cheated, so I shouldn't guess.
Okay. So just take,
I'm so honest.
Take a guess.
So tell us the truth then.
So between our three shows, Buzzcast, How to Start a Podcast, and Podcasting Q&A, 22, 18, and 22%. So we're looking at about one in five people. So for every five people who are subscribed at any point to these shows, some of them are multiple years old, they're actually in the last little period, last 60 days, actually listening to any of it.
That's an important number, though, 60 days. That's what it's calculating from.
Correct.
And yeah, so you're not looking at an episode by episode basis. You're looking at the entire podcast.
Right.
Okay.
Then to engaged listeners. So these are people who are not listening to a second. They're people who are actually really listening to the episode. They're hitting play and it continues.
Unless it hit play by mistake and they have not yet found the pause button.
Yeah. Okay. We're eliminating the chance of the accidental.
That happens all the time. Don't you guys get in your car and your car just starts playing something random? Yeah. So how many downloads are we getting for that?
So do you want to take a guess at what this percentage is, Kevin?
Well, not really, because I just failed miserably. So why do I want to keep playing this game?
It's about 15%. So of the...
15% of the 20%?
Or 15% of the total.
Oh, okay. So that's not a huge drop-off. So
yeah.
If they end up downloading it and listening to a second, they stay pretty engaged.
So I think, yeah, think of it as like 20 people. And out of the 20, four of them are clicking play. And then three of them are listening to almost all of the episode.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Well, either 20 minutes or 40%.
Yeah. I'm trying to be...
And your episodes are usually longer than 40 minutes, so maybe not all the majority of the episode. But we don't know because it only goes up to 40%. Is my math right?
Your math is right. I'm just...
Hell yeah.
I'm trying to...
This is big for fourth grade me.
I'm just trying to keep the positivity up.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
I mean, it's a
yes,
pretty big drop off. it's a pretty big drop off, but it's interesting for Apple to give us all three of those numbers because that's a number that I think is pretty important. Like going from downloads to actually knowing how many people are really listening to at least a good part of this episode. That's what I often want to know. So I thought that was really interesting.
I wonder how much of this is indicative to people who use Apple Podcasts as their primary podcast listening application. Like a big chunk of our show, we're not listed on Spotify. So 50% of the people who listen to the show do listen on Apple Podcasts, but the other 50% are listening in some other third-party app, not Spotify. And I feel like if you're into podcasting enough to go out and find a third-party app and then subscribe to our show or follow, depending on their nomenclature, then you're going to listen. Like every single podcast that I follow in my podcasting app, I listen to every week.
What do you use? What's your app of choice?
I use Castomatic right now. Castomatic because it's value for value enabled, and I love boosting podcasts.
I was going to say, I haven't heard of that, and I've heard of most things. Castomatic.
What? You haven't heard
no.
of Castomatic? Well, download it. Are you an Apple user?
Yeah.
I think it's iOS only. Okay. Yeah, well, then you're good to go.
I'm always looking for new platforms.
Yeah, and if you... Yeah, have you heard? I see. Now I feel like I'm telling you old news, but if you open up Castomatic and you create a podcaster's wallet, I think is what they call it, and then you shoot me an invoice on Twitter, I'll pay your invoice so you have some sats that you can start sharing with the other podcasters.
So cool. I will. Everybody take Kevin up on that.
Kevin's setting out free Bitcoin.
Well, it's not just me. I'm using the Bitcoin that people are sending us on this show, and then I'm putting
Super
it back
cool.
out in the community.
What is one stat that Apple did not enable that you would like to see?
That's a really good question. And I say that because I don't know how to respond yet. So I'm buying time.
I know, but that's classic, right?
Yeah.
That's like you buying time. It's not really that good of a question, is it?
I think it's a good question. I don't know. I feel like they've done a good job giving us the stats we want. What? I mean, Brian Barletta has kind of talked about the thing that we are lacking is not Apple giving good stats. It's actually a consistency across the board. And there was this, Brian Barletta does Sounds Profitable. So he's kind of on the cutting edge of podcast stats. And
there's somebody else who helps with Sounds Profitable.
That's me.
Oh my gosh, Alvin. Yeah. So I don't know. I think they're doing a good job. I mean, I would have asked for the follower number, but they just gave us that. I don't know that there's much more that I'm looking for them to provide. Again, I think it's super interesting to think about like how much like content are people skipping over. I do not know how you would display that in a UI that you could actually understand when you aggregate all the different skip data and jumping around and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, you can see the playthrough data. Is that what you're talking about? I mean, you can see where people are skipping for sure. Like you see the overall playthrough per episode going down over time, and then you see a big chunk cut out, and that's where everybody skips. And so you listen and you're like, oh, yep, that was where I dropped in my.
Yeah, I don't know that I see that.
MeUndies,
but maybe I just haven't looked at the same episodes that you have.
I think if we had more aggressive advertising slots, like in the middle of our episode, you would see more of those chunks. We just right now see kind of a smooth graph down because there's not consistent areas where a lot of people are skipping.
Right.
All right, last piece of follow-up. Acast spam has turned up to 11. This story will not go away.
It's the story that keeps on giving. Emails.
Emails that are unwanted. So what happened this week?
More information continues to come out about the Acast email spamming situation. One podcast consultant reported that Acast had spammed his client within seconds of signing up with a competitor, not Acast. So they are on it. They are really on it. They really must be pulling some emails, have some real filters in place, which is illegal.
It is illegal. I don't know if I buy the fact that they spammed him within seconds of him signing up. I think that's a little bit ego and a little bit coincidence.
Yeah. Wherever this was posted, it was probably given to hyperbole, but it's still, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say an hour. Let's say even a day, I think is wow. You know, you signed up with somebody else.
Definitely aggressive. And there's a few other weird things, like it mentions in the emails befree.io. And then I think James Cridlin reached out to BeFree on Twitter and was like, hey, you know, this is like, you know, spam. And they're like, yeah, we aren't. That's not our client. And we're not sending those emails. That's in the bottom of the email. But that's not us. And then somebody else was like, well, maybe it's mail up because it's up there in the email headers have mail up. Nope, it's not mail up either. It's being sent through Mailgun. So it's just kind of weird that there's so many things in these emails that are kind of like, almost like they're copy and pasted from some other email template. I don't know. Or maybe it's just intentionally confusing so that as people hit spam on them, that it's not dinging whoever is actually sending it.
What's really weird is that all other aspects of Acast business, I am a big fan of. I like their original content. Yeah. I like the people that work for them. I'm friendly with a bunch of them.
I feel like they hired some weird growth marketer and he's like, guys, trust me, this will work. And they probably have seen a bunch of people move over to Acast because if you spam all 4 million podcasters, you will see a little jump in your numbers. But I know talking to our support team, like we've seen quite a few of them move back. I guess a few were like, oh, totally free. I'll test that out and then bounce back a couple weeks later. So hopefully that this just goes away and we're able to, as a like community, move beyond just spamming out emails because it's a game that everybody could play, but it's scammy and not a good look.
So our advice to you is to hit spam early and often.
Alvin and I just had lunch. I'm going to give you a little bit of inside information. Alvin and I just had lunch, and during lunch, he proposed to me what I would put in the category of...
He did? That's so nice of him.
Yep. So we haven't set a date yet. Yeah. So Alvin threw out this theory about Spotify and how they're promoting some new shows. And I put it in the category of conspiracy theory, but he says no, he actually has some evidence behind it. So Alvin, tell me what you think Spotify is doing and then let us hear the evidence.
All right. Here's what's actually happening. Kevin is actually proposes conspiracy theories to me on every once in a while, and now is just trying to like promote his own theories by saying that my things that have like real evidence behind them are also conspiracies. All right, so Spotify is promoting what this Substack newsletter called fake music artists. And it was a really interesting article, and we'll link to it in the show notes, about somebody who's just going through and looking at a lot of Spotify playlists. And really, a lot of these songs that are getting a ton of plays and trying to figure out, you know, who are these artists? So it's really interesting. The person who wrote it, I guess, knows a lot about jazz, and it's just pulling up like some of these the best playlists for jazz inside of Spotify. And what's happening now is people are just talking to their voice assistant and saying, hey, voice assistant, play some jazz. And so it pulls up the Spotify playlist on jazz and starts playing. And you go, okay, this sounds good, and you're enjoying it. But when the author pulled it up, they looked at it and they said, I know jazz, and I only know two of these artists. So why are these top playlists featuring tons of artists that are not well known? And so they dig in a little bit more, and what it looks like is most of these are not – they're real people, and it's not like they're covers or they're fake, but these are not – like signed to a record label artists. And what it looks like is that across the music world, the big streaming platforms will reach out to somebody and say, hey, we can tell that this kind of music would perform well. It would do really well inside of our curated playlists. So we're going to pay you 10 grand to record this song, you know, a flat fee. They record the song, and then those songs get preferential treatment inside of the playlists. And if you go look at some of them, it's like no-name artist that maybe only has ever recorded two songs, and one of them has like 20 million downloads on Spotify.
Okay, so this is your theory of how Spotify and maybe some other streaming platforms are going to solve the licensing fees that they have to pay right now to music labels and musicians, which musicians and record labels feel like they're too low, and Spotify says, well, we can't afford to pay any higher because we can't pass that cost on to our customer because no one's going to pay more than $15 or $20 a month for access to this music catalog. So they're in a bit of a jam, and this is your theory or somebody else's theory that you're hooked into, hook, line, and sinker.
like you're pushing this as a conspiracy totally believe. Theory.
No, but now that they're manufacturing their own recordings from artists that aren't super popular who are willing to take a one-time payment so that they don't have to pay the streaming fees every time somebody plays that song.
Right. So what they're... This is the same thing that Netflix did when Netflix started by licensing everything and eventually said, okay, now let's actually start and have our own production and create our own shows, and then we'll promote those shows front and center. And that we all see that. We used to go, oh, that makes sense because now they pay for once, not forever, ongoing licensing. And so Spotify has started to do this as well by paying sometimes the same person who's on Spotify as 50 different names. So it looks like it's a bunch of different artists, but it's really just one recording group that is being paid to record by Spotify. It sounds like Amazon Music does this as well. Apple might also do this as well. Lots of the different streaming platforms do.
Okay. So are you saying this is happening in podcasting as well?
What I wanted to propose was this is the same scenario we've seen multiple times. Netflix has done it. Now Spotify's doing it, where a platform is built on the back of the creators, the music artists who came to Spotify and said, cool, let's get our music in because they'll get distribution. And then it gets better. And then eventually they say, oh, we're the tastemakers because now we have all the users. And so they start pushing the playlists and they start pushing individual tracks. And eventually they said, you know what would be really good? Let's pull out, you know, some of the best musicians of all time and instead insert stuff that we've created ourselves because then we don't have to pay for it. And it makes sense from a business perspective, but now what you've happened to you as an artist is you have no distribution and you have no money. So the thing they thought they were signing up for, massive distribution through Spotify and an ongoing paycheck for royalties, has also started to dry up for a lot of these artists. And I'm proposing that this is the scenario we've talked about for many years for podcasting. Every platform says, bring in your podcast. This is going to be great. We're going to get you distribution. We say, awesome. And we go all in. And if there is any bit where they have to pay money back to the creators, they are always going to be incentivized to figure out how do we get around that? How do we do one-time payments and get all the content and promote that content instead?
Well, you know what it makes me think of? This is like, it reminds me of Amazon Basics, right?
Yeah, so it is exactly the same as Amazon Basics.
It's Amazon Basics. So Amazon finds out that everyone's buying whatever, you know, AAA batteries in mass on Amazon. And then so they come out with Amazon Basics AAA batteries, which is basically the same battery as a Duracell or an Energizer, but they're going to sell it a little bit less. And they're going to, when you search for AAA batteries, what's the number one search result that's going to pop up? Amazon Basics AAA batteries. And they've done this in all sorts of categories. They don't have to go out there and find out what, you know, take the risk of, hey, which product should we develop next? Where are we going to find product market fit? Who's buying what? They know all of that, because they're already selling everyone else's products. And as soon as they find products that there's good margin on and a lot of people are buying from Amazon, they can create their own version of that and sell it just below the market price. You know, and as long as that equation adds up to them having profit, they will do it. And so you're saying this same strategy could work in music, it could work in podcasting, and who really pays the price? Well, it's all the people who were selling on Amazon before the Amazon Basics got enough information to figure out that we should make one of these. And the same thing could happen in music. Who's going out there and taking all the risk of creating a new jazz song or something else, and then to find out, hey, a lot of people like that jazz song. What's the formula to make that jazz song? Hey, we can just pay this person so much money to create a similar song. We can promote the heck out of it, and then we don't have to pay licensing every time somebody streams it.
But come on, Kevin. What? You're being paid in exposure.
Yeah, it is a little bit of the paid in exposure.
Yeah. But I mean, this also happens. I mean, the simpler way for this to happen is like Spotify has purchased podcast studio. Like, I don't know if they're called studios. What do you call Gimlet? Is it a studio?
Yeah.
It's a network.
Yeah.
You know, they bought Gimlet. They bought, who else did they buy? They buy Parcast or somebody else, yep. Barstool Sports or something. They bought a bunch of these houses that.
And then they had some that weren't even labeled. Remember, Spotify Studio 4 was one of them.
Yeah. Right. And so they're going to be creating a whole bunch of original content. And I'm sure they're going to be promoting their original content over anybody else's content, not only because they're going to get whatever ad revenue is generated from that show, but it's just, you know, they have the ability to make money on that content. Right now, they're not using independent podcasters to create money. They're just using it to get more people into their ecosystem. At some point, that might change. They might open up advertising opportunities to independent podcasters, but I wonder how much it's even going to matter if you're not getting the promotion. Like, yeah. Still, they're relying on you to build your own audience on Spotify. Like, you go out there and market your show. You create your TikTok channel. You create your Instagram channel. You bring all your listeners over to Spotify. And then we might, you know, throw you a few pennies every time we run an ad in your show. That may or may not work. I don't know if that's going to change down the road. But what's definitely going to work is for them building their own shows, creating their own audiences just from the network that they already have. They already have millions and millions of people coming to Spotify every day to listen to podcasts. So when you search for a podcast, I'm sure their shows are going to show up way ahead of ours.
Yeah, and I don't think that this is evil or something, and I don't think this is unique or new. Target was doing this. Walmart's been doing this for 30 years or since they could start to figure out. Sears was doing it back when Sears was a thing.
Yeah, I grew up on Chet Cola.
Yeah. I mean, all these – it's a name brand company, and then the people who actually have all the customers showing up in the stores go, oh, looks like people are pretty cost conscious around this product, and they don't really have high brand affinity. Let's see what a no-name product does. Yep, a no-name product will do well. Let's go ahead and do that. So I don't think that this is evil, but this is a smart business idea that makes economic sense for a platform.
And it also makes sense for something like jazz, because you don't necessarily need to put a face to a music genre that doesn't have words, right? Mostly, if we're talking about jazz that's just instrumental, it can be quote unquote no name brand.
Right. And it's a little bit easier when it is a, you know, something that's more instrumental based or
right, exactly.
More improv.
I don't know how much it would work with a podcast unless the podcast was like meditation, right? Something that you don't necessarily need a face that you don't necessarily need a personality to love. You know, that would keep you coming back for more. Maybe you just have consistent meditative stories. And that can be from anyone at any time, maybe even an AI voice.
I'm thinking like the low level of this is kind of what we're talking about. This, the jazz, like, okay, I'm just replacing one jazz song for another jazz song. And I feel like anyone who loves jazz right now is getting very triggered by this
conversation.
your music taste is valid. The podcast side, or let's say it's like a hip hop artist or something, that's more akin to what Netflix is doing, that they're looking at their data and they're saying, okay, these types of shows do well. And so we know that we've worked with everyone who'd created content under this old licensing model where they got paid royalties forever. Instead, we are going to go to the exact right person with the exact right formula. We already know it works, and we will offer one-time payments. And so I'm not saying any of this is wrong or evil or anything. I'm more saying there's a shift in the way people are paid for their content creation. And it used to be, hey, you're probably going to make $0, but if you make it big, you'll make millions and millions and millions. And we all knew that music turned out that way, that if you were the biggest artist, you made a ton, but almost everybody else was struggling to make any money. And I feel like we saw that with podcasting. And now we're even seeing these big exclusive deals. We go, yeah, if you make it big, you will make all the money. But in a future where it's all a platform, it's like the YouTube and it's Apple and it's Spotify and they all have exclusives and they're all promoting their own exclusives mostly, then what it starts to look like is we use everybody else as the labs to figure out what works, and then we go out and we create our own show. And so we see that Serial did long, in-depth reporting, and that was a formula that worked and a great story. Let's go create those shows ourselves. So there still will be journalists making money, and there'll still be editors making money, but it won't be you're part of something that if it blows up really big, you will make a lot of money because you own the intellectual property. Spotify and anyone else who's doing this will make sure we actually own this the intellectual property. So you're more, you know, like, if this battery takes off big, Amazon will make the Amazon Basics. So it's more just like be aware that this is the way platforms will try to push things as we get more and more in bed with the platforms. This is what makes sense for them.
That's something to be aware of also as a consumer, not just as a creator, because Gimlet does have a show called Crime Town with the host is Emma Cortland. And that was created not too recently, but hasn't been around since Serial. You know, it probably did come through the pipeline of, okay, we know narrative true crime does well. Let's have one under our own production house.
Yeah. This is when I think about platforms that have done this, like it immediately pops to mind that YouTube seems to have not done this. YouTube seems to have really focused on, we want to build the best discovery engine and recommendation engine to keep people on platform, but we're not going to necessarily go all in on original content. I know they have some original content, but it seems to be ancillary to the big problem that they're trying to solve, which is as long as we keep people entertained, they will keep our app open and keep going to the next video, the next video, the next video. And much of that has been built on the back of independent creators. And so
user generated.
And I think that that's probably why we see more, like a larger percentage of independent YouTube publishers doing well. Like maybe they're not Joe Rogan money, but they're doing well on that platform than they are maybe in the music category or in the podcasting category. And so that could be interesting if podcasting does come to YouTube as a, you know, an audio first experience. If they do create that, I wonder if they can replicate some of that magic that they've done for video creators.
That's the hope. Since James Cridland shared the news, I want to say 2 weeks ago, about the possible ingestion of RSS feeds into YouTube and how, and all of that, all the commentary that came with that, there's been an uptick in, at least on my Twitter feed, of people saying, I'm going to, you know, start a YouTube channel, or, you know, how hard is it to start a YouTube channel for my podcast? And should I focus on clips? Should I focus on short clips? You know, what's the lowest lift option for me to have a presence on YouTube with my podcast, to see if the experiment might be worth it if YouTube does in fact make these changes that are possible, that have been kind of floating in the ether? I don't know. And the answer is, we don't know yet, but if it's not too hard for you, if you're recording video already, maybe it's worth it to repurpose some of those clips, maybe spend a month experimenting, seeing if there's any traction. And if not, take a little break.
This kind of segues nice to, we've just published the Buzzsprout platform stats that we do every month, where we talk about which apps are we seeing growing, which ones are shrinking, and changes in listener behavior. And what I wanted to go back a year, especially when we're talking about Spotify, maybe prioritizing music content. Like, I would imagine they're trying to do this in podcasting as well. And I just thought, has Spotify numbers, have they changed in the last year? And you know, a year ago, March 2021, Spotify made up 29.4% of all of Buzzsprout plays across all of the 100,000 podcasts that were active at the time. Year later, Spotify has gone down to 26.8%. In the same time, Apple went from 29 to 37. So we've seen Apple grow a ton in a far, as a percentage of all the plays we have across Buzzsprout. And Spotify, it's actually on like a 6-month trajectory of continuing to go down, even as a percent. The raw number of plays goes up, but as a percent, it's been going down. And I did wonder, there could be two things. It could just be the people that Spotify was bringing during, especially during lockdowns and COVID, may have been just a little bit more, they're testing out podcasts and it wasn't for them. But I also wondered, could this be an indication of they're starting to do a bit more prioritizing the Joe Rogans and the, you know, everything that they have purchased? Are those getting higher priority than maybe some of these indie shows that were used to actually jumpstart the Spotify podcast setup?
Yeah. So this is the problem with conspiracy theories, though, is that once you buy into them, then every bit of data you see, you can twist to fit the narrative that you're believing.
this is just me having saying this makes sense. It's not bad. And then I went, oh, I wonder if that is the explanation for this. I'm not the chapter art for this needs to be the like the drawing the conspiracy theory out from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Right. No, I think that's an interesting point. Spotify listening, you know, if Buzzsprout is a good representative of the indie podcast community, and I think it is, then we have to look at the numbers and figure out why are the number of people who are listening on Apple Podcasts increasing so much, so quickly. At the same time, we see Spotify dropping, and it's not the exact same rate, but Spotify is dropping and compare it to listening that's happening on Apple.
Yeah.
And so that is interesting. And I think that would make sense. Like if Spotify is doing more and more to push listening out of the what we would consider the indie space into more of the professional podcasting space. So celebrity podcasters, shows that they own, shows that are being produced from production houses that they own, like Gimlet, and I think they own Parcast and a few others. If they're pushing that, then that's going to be reflected in the Buzzsprout platform stats. Because we don't host those shows. That's not who we're targeting. You know, our customer are independent podcasters, hopefully just like the people who are listening to the show, who decided to start up a show for various reasons. But one of those reasons would not be that you were paid millions of dollars by Spotify.
Albin, next up, I want to ask you about a Twitter thread of yours that went viral, and not the Jacksonville Jaguars one, but that one was a lot of fun too. So... So
I've actually created a second Twitter account to move all of my Jaguar stuff away. I don't think many of the podcasting space was enjoying my Jaguar hot takes.
You're so on brand. Wow. What's your second Twitter account? Actually, don't tell us. Keep that secret. You can have some secrets. okay. So you were at Podcast Movement and you were talking to somebody from NPR who mentioned what, and then you tweeted about it and it went podcast viral, I'd say, like 1,200 likes, comments, shares, all the things. And it was also featured in a newsletter that I get every day called For the Interested. And I was like, that's my friend.
Oh, nice. All right. So this person was not at NPR. And after I started writing the thread, immediately reached out and said, don't tell people I told you that. So I won't say where it came from.
They were not at NPR.
Yeah, this person does not work at NPR. So here's the story that I heard, and now I believe is definitely true. This is Alvin's conspiracy theory time. All right. So Apple Podcast is one of the most, the biggest tastemakers in podcasting. You know, it's the largest of the podcast directories, and the charts are where a lot of people look to find new shows. And recently, Apple talked about how you actually get onto the top of these charts. It's new listeners, like the actual amount of new people clicking that plus button, people following the show, and the completion rate of listening to those. And so what I heard was that there actually is an API where you can check to see if you're in these charts. And so that's what Chartable uses. That's what I think My Podcast Reviews uses to just say, is your podcast at the top of any of these charts or is it near the bottom? And so what was happening is NPR was periodically checking, are our shows in these charts? And if they were in the charts and they were up pretty high, They were like, cool. But if it ever seemed to drop out of the charts, then they would have this bot automatically start up some Facebook ads, drive a bunch of new listeners, people who'd be interested in the podcast, bump it back into the ratings, up into the rankings, excuse me, and turn it off. And it made sense because once you're in the up in the rankings, then everything's golden again because lots of people see the show, then they're subscribing to the show, and you stay up in the rankings. It was kind of like a feedback mechanism to keep you in there. And I just thought this was brilliant because they were only running ads when they were kind of dropping out, and then they were getting you back in right after that. So that was the story
this
I heard.
This pissed a lot of people off.
It pissed a lot of people off, I think, because they were thinking, oh, it's all rigged against indies. I guess anybody could have done this.
Right.
And it got a lot of attention. Eventually NPR told me I was full of crap. Somebody from NPR issued a statement and said, this is not true. But then
did anybody reach out to you personally?
Oh, I had a lot of people reach out to me personally.
No, I mean, trying to correct you, anybody from NPR?
Only through other people. I don't think anybody from NPR told me this wasn't true. But then I ended up, somebody responded to the thread and was like, oh, that's really cool because I was doing that at WNYC. And, you know, somebody at NPR was doing it as well. And I was like, okay, this has got to be the origin of the real story is WNYC is an NPR affiliate, one of their partner stations. Mm. So it sounds like it was probably a WNYC doing it for their shows, not NPR itself. But I just thought it was a really interesting and smart growth tactic, way to keep themselves up in the charts. And it works because they've got good content.
Well, and here's where I push back, because when you say it was really smart, I wonder, when I first read this thread, my doubt came from, like, that is probably the most expensive way to grow a podcast following, is by running ads on Facebook. Like, Facebook is notoriously inexpensive for people who are selling, I don't know what you call them, like impulse purchase type things.
Yeah.
It's very hard to have an effective ad that moves somebody off platform into a podcast listening app and then gets them to subscribe. And we know, like you just went through the formula to get back in the charts, means that they're following or they're listening or something else, or completion data.
Rate.
Yeah, whatever all the stats are. So it's a huge leap to say that a social media campaign on Facebook could have the effect that they're trying to drive without spending a massive amount of money. Now, they might not have to spend that massive amount of money for a very long period of time because maybe they're just saying, hey, we just want to be on the chart. We don't care where we are on the chart. So it could just be this thing where they keep bouncing it on and off, but it just seemed super expensive. It seemed like it would have been a lot more cost effective to have been like, let's run some cross promos or something like that. Would have been a much more cost effective way to get themselves back in the charts. So that's where my, like, you know, BS meter started pinging a little bit on it. And I know you're all in on it. You totally believe it. I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
This is all conspiracy. Kevin calling me. This is from
this is Alvin's Clear Conspiracy Theory Podcast.
This is from 2016. So Facebook ads and Apple charts were in a very different spot.
Yeah.
I don't know if completion rate was part of the Apple podcast algorithm at that time.
Right.
May not have been. And there's ways that you could do it to focus to make sure that your spend was going a long way. You could be like, only target people we know, visit NPR's website.
Here's the interesting takeaway. Like, as a podcaster, if you're trying to grow your audience, and I don't think that's the most important thing that you should be doing, but if you're worried about your numbers and are your numbers always moving up, then you should look at your downloads. You should check, log into the platforms and see where you are with Apple stats, with Spotify stats, and then you should maybe figure out which marketing channels work for you. It is not going to be build a bot that checks Apple's, you know, chart ranking and then automatically kicks off social media campaigns. That's not going to be the winning strategy for anybody.
I feel like you're skipping over the joy part of this, right to the, like, all right, now let's get down to brass tacks. How does this work?
No, I'm not trying to be a curmudgeon at all. I'm just wondering, like, why does this stuff go viral? Why are people so interested in this?
I think people love to be outraged, and they love to see, oh, if you have money, you can do whatever you want.
Right. But we all know that already, so it's not worth getting upset about anymore. Like, just accept it. People have money, and if you have money, you can get a huge following and audience for your show. But it only works because NPR creates really good content. And I think that's what we should all be focused on, is like, let's create NPR quality content, and then we'll figure out how to get it in front of more people.
It's funny because I didn't think of this as anything that was connected to outrage when I wrote it. I just wrote it because I'm thinking from the marketing side, like, ooh, that was really smart. You saw there was a feedback mechanism that if you were in the charts, you were getting lots of plays. And they saw, well, we can nudge shows back into the charts. And if we nudge them back into the charts, we might pay for 100 new listeners, but then we'll get 5,000 for free. So it's worth it. That's the way that it makes sense. So they were like checking, is it the moment, the nudge? Oh, there's the nudge. We nudged it and it worked.
Right.
And I was like, ooh, from a marketing perspective, that's really smart. And so I had people who follow me because of marketing were like, brilliant. I'm so excited. And then I started interacting with a lot of like public radio people or people who were making really big shows. And they're like, we're all getting screwed by NPR. And I was like, oh, I didn't really think that anybody would be mad about this. I can understand if your show is the one that's getting bumped off the charts by NPR that, that would definitely be a frustrating experience. All right. Well, in personal news, Kevin and I will be headed, or Buzzsprout people, we'll be headed to two conferences next month.
Let's talk about them. We're going to the podcast show in London, May 25th and 26th. And not me, but so that's both of us. Albin and I will be there. And then Albin is going to Black Pod Festival in Atlanta from May 28th and 29th.
Yeah. So if you're interested in any of those shows, come out, hang out. We will be at the podcast show, just walking around Black Pod Festival. We'll be speaking and we'll have a booth and we'll probably do all sorts of stuff. So we would love to see you at either of those.
Yeah. Find us on Twitter and DM us if you're going to those.
Ariel, are you going to either of these?
I'm going to Outlier Podcast Festival, May 5th through 6th in Austin, Texas. And then I'm going to Black Pod Festival in Atlanta, May 28th and 29th. Very excited. Squadcast is going to have a booth, some fun giveaways, and would love to, first of all, hang out with the Buzzsprout crew and also with anybody else who's listening who's going to be there.
Very cool.
Okay, it looks like Rhino737733 has left a review for you for this podcast. And Kevin, would you like to read that review out loud? But you have to do it in the tone that it is written.
In a rhino voice.
In a rhino voice? So helpful and really fun to listen to.
With 12
exclamation points.
But the title of the review is Amazing Podcast.
Amazing Podcast.
Rhino, thank you for the amazing podcast review. We appreciate it. And if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we will read it. And also right now, our reviews for good with Podchaser. You can leave reviews there as well. And if you leave a review, for every review, they are donating 25 cents to World Kitchen, which benefits refugees and people in the Ukraine right now. So it's a good thing to do. And Podchaser is a great app to use. So go leave reviews for this show and for all the other shows that you listen to.
Yeah. And we are also incented through Podchaser to respond to your reviews. So if we see new reviews, we will be responding to make sure that more money goes to that great cause. So thank you, Podchaser.
And now, as the French say, ooh, it is time for Le Boost.
Does that not go with our the upbeat theme here?
Are we just...
I love that.
What does our budget look like for all these like voiceovers that you're doing for our Boostagram section?
No, so I'm not paying for these. I wish I could remember your name. I'm sorry. But somebody checked in a whole bunch of sounds to the Git repo for Podcast Index, and they made all these wonderful boost bait sounds available to us to use for free.
That's some tasty boost bait.
So we can use them. So I've got a bunch of new sounds that we can use as we read some boosts.
Boost!
That people who are using a value for value enabled podcast app, you're streaming sats and you're boosting sats. And as you know, if you listen to the show, if you boost us and send us a message in your Boostagram, we're happy to read it as long as it is not, crude or hateful or ugly in any way. And none of them have ever been, so I'm not really worried about that. So let's start running through some of our boosts from the last week or last 2 weeks. So the first one, Andy Lehman gave us around 200 sats and said, writing back to tell you that you did say my name correctly on the last episode and that I do have a podcast. It's called Dudes and Dads, the Dudes and Dads podcast. So check us out in any podcast app or at dudesanddadspodcast.com. So thank you, Andy. Really appreciate that. Let me see if I can find something for you here. How about...
It's the Rooster Booster.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm using the Rooster Booster. I'm going to give
Boosty Boosty.
That's a Boosty Boosty. All right. Tom Rafferty wrote in and he boosted us around 2,250 sats. He said, my name is Tom Rafferty. I'm the host of Climate 21 and the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. The Climate 21 Podcast is a show that I publish new episodes every Wednesday where I highlight successful climate emissions reduction stories and strategies to educate and inspire people to action. The Digital Supply Chain Podcast is the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chains. Granted, it's a small pool. I'm going to pause right here because I love that. I love the idea of focusing on this niche that is super small so that you can be number one or you can stand out in that category. We preach that all the time, and it's a fantastic strategy. So he continues, he said, I publish a new show every Monday and Friday. I have a third podcast, but I'm not going to mention it because it's not hosted on Buzzsprout. Unfortunately, this was not my decision, but I am a very busy podcaster. So check out those two shows, Climate 21 and the Digital Supply Chain. Thank you, Tom.
Boost.
All right. The Mere Mortals podcast gave us 2,000 sats and said, as someone focused quite heavily on video, I've wished for Sam's all-in-one upload method before, but I would have that come from YouTube being a host and simply pulling the audio from my video and making it an RSS. Don't do video, guys. Stick to audio. By the way, I've started uploading to TikTok thanks to you guys. I don't know if that's a good if I like this. Would appreciate if anyone listening would check it out and give me any feedback. At Mere Mortals Podcast on TikTok. So go check it out and let him have some feedback.
You better be streaming sats.
That was fantastic. All right. At Petar, P-E-T-A-R, hope I'm saying that correctly, gave us around 1,100 sats and said, I like the show.
Booyah!
Thank you so much, Petar.
Who made all these, Kevin?
I don't know. People in the podcasting community. This is great.
I don't know. We're going to see like a massive spend when we do like the budget for Buzzsprout this month. Kevin's like $20,000 on getting voice actors.
This is just people sharing in the podcasting community. It's fantastic. All right. Dave Jones, our good friend from Podcast Index and Podcasting 2.0 show. Check it out on whatever podcast app you prefer. Gave us 2,000 sats. Love me some Sam Sethi. Great interview, guys.
Boosty, boosty.
Thank you, Dave. Dave Kolch gave us around 3,500 sats. And he has a question for us, so pay attention. Here we go. Should podcasters looking to cross-promote their show buy an ad on a podcast of the same general topic or something adjacent? Is there a best strategy here?
Yeah.
So what do you guys think?
So you can cross-promote. Some people do recommend buying ads on podcasts that are bigger than yours in order to grow your shows. If you really do want to spend money with another show that's in your genre, do that. Make sure it's a show that's bigger than yours and then go back and have a long-term play with free opportunities for cross promotion.
The best ads are the ones where the audience is as close to your ideal audience as possible. And so when you're doing a promo swap, who are we connecting to? We're connecting to other podcast listeners. Ooh, that's already good. And if they're already, like Ariel says, in your genre, man, that's even better because I know they're into true crime. They'll probably be into my true crime podcast. And so it's much more likely that they make the switch over to your show. So as similar as they can be without being the exact same show, the better it is. So yeah, if you can find them, go for it.
Right. And if you've listened to the episode this far, you have probably heard some podcast promos being dropped in because we committed to doing that a couple weeks ago. And I think it's going well. I haven't heard this episode in final edited form yet because we're still live. But yeah, that's something that we'll continue to do. Now, we're not going to have exact kind of genre matches because this is a podcast about podcasting and all the people who are listening probably do podcasts in a different space. So they're probably going to be less effective, but our advice would be as close as you can find to your audience. So if you're doing something in sports podcasting or something, you want your promos playing in other sports podcasts.
Well, thank you for everyone for listening. Thanks to our mystery guest for joining us and for playing our silly games.
I have a name.
You don't have to call her mystery guest anymore.
Ariel, if people want to know more about you, if they don't know who you are already, where should they go to find you and follow you?
Shame
and
on
connect?
Them if they don't know who I am. I'm just kidding. That's ridiculous. I'm most active on Twitter, and by most active, I mean to a fault.
Too active.
It's not good for me. You can follow me at Ari this and that because my last name is Nissenblatt, and that is how you can never be wrong about how to pronounce my name, Ari this and that, and I will answer a DM. I will respond to you in any way. If you have questions about podcasting, very, very happy to help. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ariel, for being here, and you've been very genius. Very humble and genius in this episode. if for those who don't know, Ariel works at Squadcast, which is a fine way to record your episodes. And so I would recommend, I think that we have a promo code for all Buzzsprout customers in our partner promotion section. So go grab your coupon and check out Squadcast. If you're not using it now, you now have no excuse. So go check it out. Thank you, Ariel, for being here. And we look forward to talking to y'all in a couple of weeks. Keep podcasting.